Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if Gaudi Pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod, MIPOD.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
On today's Part of My Take, our voices are out. March Madness, first 4 days, incredible action. Brains have been melted. Wisconsin lost. Duke won. Hank's been just like avoiding me for the entirety of the day, which is very funny. We have Shaheen Holloway on the show. Yeah, you know, I know you.
What else am I supposed to do?
I know you have. I was like, where the hell's Hank? I haven't seen him all day. Like, oh, he's been in the other room. Shaheen, when dad's mad, just stay away.
Yeah.
Shaheen Holloway, coach St. Peter's, on the show. The story of the tournament, easily. So we're going to recap Sunday's games first, and then we will get to Saturday's games, which we taped in the afternoon. So our voices will actually get better as the show goes on. And then we have some NFL, MLB stuff.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Hey! Now in the street there is violence, and then a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out or washing, and then I can't.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Venmo. Go use Venmo right now. Send any transaction in the month of March. Use hashtag PMT in the description, and you can win up to $500 from Venmo for free. Today is Monday, March 21st. This is March.
Yeah, unfortunately, Big Cat's voice gave out entirely, so he won't be able to recap the Wisconsin game. I'll just do it right now. Iowa State 54, Wisconsin 49. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Ohio State.
Yeah.
And Villanova.
Yeah.
Big choke job out of the Buckeyes.
Big choke job at the end. Yeah, no, thankfully, the Wisconsin game was earlier today, so I had some time to recoup with my friends, make some bets, have some laughs.
Make some memories.
I think this is one of those losses that I got over it very quickly. It's an onset death, or it's a late onset death. I'll be on the plane tomorrow, and I'll be like, God damn it, we shot 2 for 19 from three. Because at the end of the day, everyone loses except one team. But you don't want to lose the game that you can see is winnable. That's the part that kills. If you lose your best versus their best, you can walk away being like, man, that was fun. It sucks. It hurts. But when you lose and you're like, yeah, we could have fucking won that game if Chucky Hepburn doesn't get hurt, which derailed like the entire offense. Or if maybe Johnny Davis drove more, or maybe we hit one fucking three.
Maybe if you made any shots. I think you were, 1 for 17?
Yeah.
Three. It's tough to win a game like that. And like Wisconsin was obviously, I don't think that they were going to win at all this year. They were a flawed team.
That's part of like why this is, it sucked, but it's not.
It was going to happen anyway.
It's not. It's not 2015.
I would have preferred that you had lost to Duke, but you know,
in the final.
In the final, that would have been optimal. But
that would have been
this
the worst.
Really, they did you a favor by knocking you out because they didn't give you the satisfaction.
No, but
of,
I still
moving on and getting your hopes.
I really wanted Sweet 16. I said that Sweet 16 was the goal. It's not. It's not the most heartbreaking. It's not like a double doink. It's not 2015. It's not even the Florida game when they were already in the Sweet 16, because I knew, I was realistic about this team. I knew they weren't like that crazy talented. It just sucks because March for your team is so much, the tournament is so much fun if you have your team in it, and every game's so much fun. And if you can get to the second weekend, you get to read all the press clippings and get excited about everything. But yeah, it sucked. But here's what I have going for me, PFT. I still have a team in the tournament. Whatever team bounces Duke, that will be my favorite night of the tournament.
Or just any team that is currently playing Duke.
I had a smile on my face about an hour after. I was like, I'm actually happy that Duke didn't lose tonight because now I still have that in my back pocket. Because they will. Their defense sucks. Shout out Coach K, who in the pregame, he was like, we only put championship banners up in Cameron. And then 2 seconds later, they showed Coach K winning his coach banner in Cameron because it is about Coach K. So, Hank, you did avoid me. Wisconsin lost. Duke won. You avoided me the rest of the day.
Well, you're on edge. Like, especially because I understand that you're a way bigger Wisconsin fan than I am a Duke fan, so I'm not trying to, like, gloat or rub it in your face.
No, you would never do that.
I think, wait, hold on. I do think PFT can back me up. I would say that I bounced back after about 20 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
it was a quick bounce because you knew that death was coming.
Right.
You just didn't know if it was going to be immediate death, if it was going to be sudden onset, or as you said, like, delayed. I really do think that, and I'm doing the verbal meme right now where it's you as the troll face putting on the mask of having a smiley face.
Yeah.
It's better that you lost this game than you advance and then had your heart broken.
No.
If you had gotten to
disagree.
The Elite Eight or the Final Four,
disagree.
That would have been, it would have been way more heartbreaking. You bounce back. You would not have had to bounce back in 20 minutes if it was a Sweet 16 game or if it was an Elite Eight game. I just go back to, like, Wisconsin is, they're a flawed team. They're just not good enough to win.
Here's where it could really hurt me. I watched that entire game, and I watched Iowa State, and Iowa State won. I'm not taking anything away from Iowa State. They stink, though. I might game of the year Miami. Okay. I might game of the year. It might be a revenge game of the year.
ACC elite.
It might be a revenge game of the year. So this loss could cost me twice.
So as far as Duke goes, though.
Quickly, I would just like to say, sorry, PFT, to interrupt you, but
yeah, wow.
Oh, I was just going to say the real...
Hank gets a win from Coach
real,
K. He's feeling himself.
No, like, because you weren't talking to the... Like,
no, you go off, Hank. This is Hank's Corner, brought to you by Hank.
I can't even laugh without it.
Sponsored by Taco Bell.
The gambling side of the Duke game, the fact that Big Cat had Wisconsin and I had Duke, that was like
Michigan State
Michigan
plus
State.
Seven.
I didn't want to like rub it in his face, like, let alone that Duke won. And then also cover the spread. Like, I knew it was like contentious times to even speak.
Yeah, Who would want to make any time to speak contentious?
Exactly.
But as far as the coaching matchup, Izzo and Coach K, you know that Izzo, as our friend Rico likes to always remind us, he knows what the spread is. He's a spread guy. I caught him looking up at the scoreboard a few times in the last seconds of the game. What reason would Tom Izzo have to check the score with 30 seconds and under left in this game? I think the fix was in. NCAA rigged. I think that Tom Izzo and Coach K has three friends. One, the sports information director at Duke that keeps all of the bodies buried in the right locations.
Jeff Capel, too, though. He's the bag man. Four friends.
Yeah, well,
keep going.
No, I think it's more of a transaction. I think they're business.
LeBron.
They're associates.
Well, no, remember, Jeff Capel did the ultimate cuck move, and he had the entire student section at Pitt wear, like, thank you, K shirts.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. but it was, Jim Boeheim is another one, and then Tom Izzo, I think, is the third. They're, like, the big three in their own minds, you know? They've been coaching together for so long,
and
been competitors.
Like any college basketball, you know, record keeping statistic.
Okay, let's bring up some of the record. How many Sweet 16s has Tom Izzo been to in the last 10 years?
I've radicalized PFT and I love it. He's like, I've radicalized him to help me just fight against Coach K everywhere.
Yeah, when Duke,
I'm sitting in
the
my
process
cave.
Began.
Well, and the Izzo, he's got the Izzo future from like 2015.
That's right. I've got the Izzo future on him being overrated, which is still technically wildly incorrect, but give him two more years of getting bounced early, and then everybody would be like, man, PFT, I'm sorry that I doubted you, and I'll be like, suck my dick. You're not allowed on this bandwagon. But my radicalization process began back in 2002. It's like I'm telling a story about like how an incel became an incel. When Duke didn't let me in, got rejected from attending Duke. Not that I would have been able to afford going there, but Coach K is, you know, he is making it all about himself. There's no debating that.
Of course.
I'm just rooting for the most hilarious way possible for him to get bounced. And so in the next round, Duke is playing, hang on, pulling up right now. It's been a long weekend.
Texas Tech.
That's right, Texas Tech. And then they would get Gonzaga. I'm just seeing if it's a possibility at all for them. When would they play UNC?
Then they're meant the tournament.
Final Four.
I want then. I want UNC to beat Duke in the Final Four.
Either way, I still have the Duke loss in my back pocket, which will be great. This was a great 4 days, though. We should talk about other games. I'm sad about Wisconsin, but whatever, that's in the past. What next? My brain is so
Villanova, fried. Ohio State. That was
Villanova is just earlier. Such a consummate, like, their attorney team. They when we say before the tournament starts, Villanova is number one in free throws. Where it shows up is when Ohio State comes roaring back and it's a 2-point game, and then Villanova's like, no, we're just not going to miss free throws, and we're going to just win this game because we're steady and we don't panic ever. I just trust Villanova.
When did that start, that Villanova became known as attorney team?
As soon as they won their first title.
I think it was Scotty Reynolds.
No, because no. They always choked.
They were never like expected to win.
Oh no, they were the one seed the year before they won they were the one seed the year before they won their first title and got bounced in the second round.
No, I'm saying back 2009 or whatever that was. Right, they were not expected. That's when they took the next step.
There was a big Villanova chokes thing that went on for a very long time.
Alan Ray, yep.
But yeah, Villanova, they are just there's something about them where it's just 85% from free throw.
They were the team that nobody was talking about. The team that was probably the most disrespected going into it, because as a two seed, they were still very, very good. He was the Big East Player of the Year, right? Colin Gillespie.
Gillespie.
But nobody was talking about him going into the tournament. We spent 99% of our time talking about them by saying nobody's talking about them.
Which
is better than most.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what other games. It's all a blur.
Illinois, Houston. There was a technical foul on the dunk in the Illinois game. My position is that if a referee can't even get rim, they should not be allowed to call technical fouls for hanging on their basket.
I'd agree with that. Houston's just a man's team. All they do is just fucking, like, everyone on their team just crashes the boards and just mans up people. Purdue, I want to say shout out Purdue. I'm hard on Purdue. That was actually a very impressive win because Chris Beard's an incredible tourney coach. Texas, you know, brings crazy defense. Purdue did enough to win, and like Purdue's one of those teams that they've always been right there, Sweet 16, never been able to break through. They now have St. Peter's, which we'll get to Shaheen Holloway, but on paper you have to think you have a Jaden Ivey who's a lottery pick. You have two guys in Williams and Edie who are fucking monsters. You'd have to think Purdue, 12-point favorites, to get to the Elite Eight, to be on the doorstep of a Final Four. Hank is shaking his head. He's going to bet St. Peter's.
Money line.
Hell yes.
I think I've got to take St. Peter's, too.
Yeah. And then
all those guys think they should be at Purdue.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Kentucky.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, no, if you think you should be at Kentucky, then you don't want to be at Purdue.
True. So exactly,
Purdue. I just said a mean thing about Purdue when I was trying to be nice to Purdue.
Also in this game, you're very generous to give them credit. By the way, they did shoot 40 foul shots.
Yeah,
and I think what did Texas have, like 10?
I don't
know. That you can't make a team foul, and the refs, I don't think we're doing like a. It wasn't the worst ref job of the tournament.
No,
but that's still a shitload of foul shots for one team to attempt.
I really didn't have as much of a problem with it because they're physical and they got big dudes.
Yeah. So in the game against St. Peter's, there's no reason why I should bet St. Peter's against this team. Like
Hank.
You said, like with the physical mismatch,
Jersey Hank.
It doesn't
Did you
make
listen to the
any...
interview you conducted?
Yes. No. I'm telling you right now, Hank, there's no reason for me to do it. Physically, it's a complete mismatch, but I'm still going to do it because fuck it. Because I ride.
Yeah, you have to.
Sometimes you just got to take the part of your brain that thinks that it's being smart and tell it to shut the fuck up. And that's what I'm going to do.
No, they...
No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure. All the pressure is going to be on Purdue. That's right.
And then we had Notre Dame got bounced. That was a nice story. Texas Tech, they are my hope now.
Notre Dame fell apart at the last minute of the game.
Yeah, they did. And I also have a lot of Texas Tech gear that I will be wearing whenever Duke plays them. What's that, Thursday, Friday?
What's the guy's name?
Jeffrey.
Yes.
Jeffrey, the mascot.
That's all-timer.
Shout out, Jeffrey. I will be going guns blazing for Texas Tech.
And we can't have the conversation now of whether or not Texas Tech is better off without Chris Beard.
Yeah.
Because they've advanced. By the way, Chris Beard, do you think that he has to have a beard?
Yes.
Because his last name?
Yes.
Like, I don't think that he can shave it. It would just be really weird.
It would make no sense. He's not Chris Mustache.
Right. Like, if Bruce Arians wasn't white.
Right. It would make no sense. You were leading to that.
No. No, you brought up Chris Beard, not me.
No, you said Chris. You just said, do you think Chris Beard would be weird if he didn't have a beard?
No, you brought him up.
What?
We'll review the tape.
What?
I wasn't what? Leading into it, but I did have the conversation earlier today about the beard, whether or not the name affects the personal style.
That was
style.
A nice, you led yourself, you walked yourself into that one.
And then I gaslit you.
Yeah, you just walked yourself right
into that. To tell
you that
I didn't
joke.
Do that.
That one might be in the drafts.
Yeah, definitely in the drafts.
Oh, we're going to be, this should stay in the drafts, guy?
It's definitely in the drafts.
You know who's worse than stay in the drafts, guy, is how long have you had this one in your drafts for?
Yeah, well, at least, what, 5 hours, you said?
No, I wasn't thinking about Bruce Arians 5 hours ago.
And then, we forgot to mention Auburn got kind of exposed. I mean, that was – the big storyline is SEC, like the Big 12 and the ACC punked the SEC. The Big 10, yes, wasn't great, but they do have two teams into the Sweet 16. The SEC was the basketball conference all year. Our must bus is still riding, but everyone else, Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, all out. Did I just kick something?
No.
Just kick something. All out. Miami. That was never even close. Like, they beat Auburn convincingly. It wasn't one of those games where you're like, oh, man, plucky upset. They were a 7-point dog, and they won by 18.
I was surprised by that one.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I just don't know anything about Miami.
They have good guard play, and I think that's probably the weakness that kind of did in Auburn all year.
And people were shitting on the ACC this year.
Yeah.
They got no respect. None.
That's true. That is true. And now they have three teams into the final to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16. And they had Notre Dame knocking on the door. What game did we miss? I don't think we missed any other games.
Oh, in the recap segment that we did about the Saturday games, I don't think that we talked about Arkansas at all. And that shit game that they played.
It was
in Buffalo.
It was the worst game I've
ever
watched.
That entire arena is completely dead to me.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be betting on a single game that's played in that place. It felt like there were stretches of time where it was like 30 minutes between a basket. I didn't see a ball go into a hoop.
Well, here's the thing. It's one thing to watch, like, Iowa State and Wisconsin was a rock fight, but you knew it was a rock fight going in.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas and New Mexico State had the pace. They just dribbled the ball everywhere and never scored.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a wild game to watch.
It's like what I would imagine the first game of basketball looked like.
Yeah, I'm actually going to look it up.
Oh, speaking of that, here's a fun fact that I learned yesterday.
Okay.
So there's only one coach in the history of Kansas that has a losing record. Do you know who it is?
No.
Roy Williams.
No, absolutely not. Dr. James Naismith.
Whoa.
The guy that invented the game of basketball has a losing record.
That's crazy.
What a weirdo.
That is crazy.
Because he created a league with parody.
He did? He created the league?
Thank you,
Dr. Naismith.
All right, well, now we got to wait for Jake. I'll do the ad.
You didn't talk about the last game.
Oh, Arizona. Yeah, Arizona TCU. What a game.
Crazy. Crazy
that
ending.
Benedict Mathurin. Fucking crazy. 30 points. I just love any tournament game, and in a second we're going to talk about the Gonzaga-Memphis game, where one guy's like, I'm not letting my team lose. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just not. And TCU had the same thing with Big Eddie. Like, he was an absolute monster. Two guys going toe-to-toe. Arizona survives. I still think Arizona is championship caliber, and it just shows you how fucking hard this tournament is.
Yeah.
It's like they're the you know, maybe the second favorite behind Gonzaga, and they play TCU – who's just a tough-ass team, and they give them everything there. Like, that game easily could have been won by TCU.
That game probably set a record for the most offensive rebounds in the last 10 minutes of a game because both teams' bigs were really good.
That
really
was the difference. Arizona finally figured out how to offensive rebound in the overtime.
Yeah, I mean, TCU was doing it too, but they just – they
yeah, they were missing. Doing it all game.
TCU, the difference would be TCU would miss, like, three layups in a row, get two offensive rebounds, and then lose a third. Arizona would get three offensive rebounds and then make their last one.
Right.
That game was crazy. The play at the end of the game where there was a turnover at midcourt, which I still think was a foul, has nothing to do with the fact that I put a live bet on Moneyline TCU.
It was kind of a flop and then should have been a backcourt violation. Yeah.
I'm not going to let the facts get in the way of a take.
Yeah.
And then he drove it to the hole. As the buzzer sounds, he goes up for a dunk. This is why you should never dunk. This is why I don't dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Lay the ball in, and the game's over. Turns out he was like probably like 0.2 seconds late.
It was, just lay it in. Mm-hmm. Lay it in. No reason to do that. If that ends up being a TCU win, that guy will never, ever live that down.
That screenshot is like the most painful screenshot you could have.
Yeah. Hand fully around the ball. Red light on the backboard.
And there were probably some Arizona fans in the background of that screenshot, like jumping in the air celebrating.
Yes. Or even the screenshot, it would be like the screenshot of when he got the ball and it would be like 2 seconds left and he has a clear path to the basket. And it's like, we lost this game.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Jake, you're here. Let's do it. Your one shining moment recap. What else you got? Give us just the lowdown.
Yes.
Great games.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I mean, it was the first 4 days. It's crazy how every year it always delivers. I know it's like cliche. A lot of people say it, but we didn't have a true buzzer beater. Sure. We didn't have like an all-time moment, but there are plenty of great moments.
There was
plenty of shining moments.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So give it to us.
So I have I have 20 right now. Last year, I want to say I went around 50%.
For total?
Yeah.
Do you know how many roughly are in the video?
Oh, there's a couple hundred shots because everything's just so quick. So it's impossible to predict everything. I'm just trying to see whatever I say is in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead. Give it to us.
I'll go quickly here.
Take your time.
Okay.
It's your time. It's literally March Madness.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. The first one is a lock. The ball is tipped.
Yep.
Just
a check.
Jump ball.
Mm-hmm. One for one.
Yeah. That's like the free space on the
video
card.
From the first game, though.
I did say the first game, yes.
Wait, when you say the first game, are you talking about the first four?
Texas Southern versus Texas
Christi. So I could be wrong.
7 years ago.
I could have been more generic, but I wanted to try to be on the dot. So I'll be wrong in that sense, fine. But they're going to start off with that.
Either that one or sometimes they do the national championship.
No, they always do the tip of the national championship at the end in slow-mo.
Credit to you, by the way.
Yeah.
Credit to you.
Just got curb stomped right there.
Credit to you for not losing your voice.
It's a little shot, right?
Well, he's a trained broadcaster, big cat. Yeah. That's what they teach you at Newhouse.
Okay. We have an alley-oop.
No, Medill.
Excuse me.
A nice alley-oop from Indiana against Wyoming in the first four.
Okay.
We have the Paul Atkinson game winner, Notre Dame versus Rutgers. That might be game of the tournament, too. Not enough people are talking about
I already counted Memphis-Gonzaga game of the tournament far.
What about the Leprechauns coming onto the court at midnight for St. Patrick's Day?
Yes, the call of that. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It was Tom McCarthy, voice of the Phillies. That's going to make it.
That's
so if we were doing an audio version, that would make it.
Okay.
John Fulkerson, a big one-handed slam against Longwood for Tennessee.
Yep.
We have, again, maybe not specifically, but this will happen, a player diving into a table.
Yes.
In this case,
always.
Mike Peek of New Mexico State. Richmond and N1 against Iowa. That was the first big upset of the tournament. Bench mob was going nuts on that one, too. Brady Manick from North Carolina, the one who got ejected against Baylor. He had 28 points against Marquette. Just him making a three is going to make it.
Yeah.
Because he's had a good opening weekend. The Indiana cheerleader, also a lock.
That one is the moment of the tournament.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's automatic. Indiana against St. Mary's. Deep three to take the lead in overtime for Boye of San Francisco against Murray State. That was a great late night game.
Yep.
Barstool athlete Devin Cambridge with a big block for Auburn against Jacksonville State.
Okay.
Jabari Smith, big time hammer slam there. Bench reaction.
Awesome dunk.
Yeah.
I love that big time hammer slam.
Malik Wilson of Texas Tech did a 360 dunk. Any 360 dunk plays.
Yep.
Sorry if I'm boring people.
No.
Power go off, King.
Marcus Carr. Yeah, Marcus Carr's halftime buzzer beater for Texas.
Yep.
That was shout out Rico. That was a big one. Big block for Eric Gaines of LSU against Iowa State.
That was one of the coolest blocks. If you have not seen it, go back, search it. He like, it was like one of those videos where someone does an invisible box. He kept on going up. It was crazy.
Yeah. There are a lot of good blocks.
He's still levitating right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuts.
The end of North Carolina Baylor. Scott Drew did not watch the regulation buzzer beater attempt from North Carolina. Closed his eyes and then screamed.
Yes, we're going to lose in overtime instead. Yeah. And then I'm going to tweet a cuck tweet.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Jawan Howard's handshake redemption.
The hug. When he tried to squeeze.
Yeah.
I think he
Kennedy
was
Chandler. Death.
I think he was whispering in his ear, like, I'm going to murder your entire family. That's why he was crying.
He's like, if you don't keep hugging me back so that I can get PR back on my side, I will have you dead.
I'll pair these together. I'd include this one in the thread, but the locker room celebrations, Jawan after beating Tennessee, and then Kelvin Sampson shirtless.
Taking his shirt off.
Houston's
I missed that one.
Illinois.
Regrettably.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah. More from another table dive. More from Houston against Illinois. So compare those together. Fabian White for Houston against Illinois had this incredible save from going out of bounds down the stretch against Illinois today.
Yep.
That was a good one. It led to a layup. And then just now, Benedict Mathurin's dunk was also could be
yes,
a dunk.
Yes, that one was sick. What about, I mean, we got to have a Doug Eater three.
There's going to be, I definitely left out some. But yeah, St. Peter's going to have a moment. You can always tweet at me if you have any recommendations to add as well.
Okay.
So appreciate the help.
We're going to go over 50% this
year. I think so far this will be over 50%.
That's the goal. The goal is get Jake above 50%.
Trying to think of any others.
The thing is, like the last like 30 seconds of like the 3 minute montage are always like the final four. So they get heavy on
I
that.
I would throw in. I think there'd be a Drew Timmy move bucket against Memphis because that was such a great game.
Mm-hmm. I have a long shot.
Yeah,
the shot of the TCU guys like the nose blood bleeding. Like that's just a good quick shot that you throw in there.
I
like
was considering that. Is
life.
That too graphic you're for such a happy video?
Oh, it might be.
That's the
they
thing.
Have the line though. You're fighting for your life.
Is there?
Yeah.
Is there a line in there about having a grotesque facial fracture?
I don't think
I'll pull
so.
Up the lyrics.
All about Coach K going out to see his player, and he whispered in his ear, like, get the fuck up.
Yeah.
It really did look like he was
plugging his nose
like it was Tony killing
Coach
Christopher.
K holding up his last championship.
It's not going to happen.
But imagine if it did.
Nope, can't imagine. he was – that moment, I tweeted, people got very upset at me because they said I was making fun of a kid's injury, which is like, you got to be brain dead if you think I'm making fun of the kid. I'm making fun of Coach K.
He was using his medical training that he received in the Army.
Oh, speaking of which, you think maybe Coach K's wife assaulting his grandson?
I did see that.
Yeah, that was graphic.
Yeah.
You think that will be in there?
No.
Put it on the list.
I can add
for
it to
me.
This. I'll find it.
Okay.
And then generic lock is someone crying.
Yeah.
We
me.
Just don't know who.
Oh, put Hep on the list.
Hep, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the list so far.
Who are the kids that you were laughing at, Hank? Who are crying? You laughed so hard at like a 5-year-old crying. Well, I think it was a Kentucky fan, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you were just like,
that
like,
is
Jesus
one
Christ.
Really nice thing to see again.
You
coming back to the tournament.
Literally love, like, you live for videos of people getting injured and like hurt.
Yeah, adults and sometimes kids.
But like we don't realize how much we missed that last year.
I always think about
it. It was a sad fan reaction videos.
Yeah, the Northwestern kid.
Yeah, the Villanova flute girl crying. Yeah. We missed these moments without the fans. Yeah.
I always think about it from the like control room, like the all business Pete, the person in the truck that's like find the cry.
Yeah, find
and then
the
when
kid,
they and then when
the
they get it,
crying.
They're like zoom.
There's another big return that we're seeing this year too with the fans in the stands is horny camera guys.
Yeah.
That are just like looking for a hot person in the crowd so that it cuts to them and they're like, look at this. Look who's at this game.
Yeah.
I'm bonking every cameraman that works for the entire Turner Network.
I'm trying to think if there's any other moments. No, I think that's a good list. My brain is completely
mush. It's fried. But it was so much fun.
I love when Jake Jake is like so sharp right now. I'm dead. I'm a dead.
Well, the highs and lows of gambling that much. It's like yeah. Jake is not really.
The adrenaline is.
It's pretty. It's peaking right now.
Oh yeah,
I'm out of gas. Damn. Out of gas right now.
Like think about what we just did. We were on the couch for a long time the last 4 days.
Oh yeah. Why would that make your adrenaline peak?
No, I'm just saying because of what we did. Like without adrenaline, I don't know how we would.
Oh yeah, do that. But you don't gamble, so that's the crazy part to me. Well, Jake, you just live off of the sport, I love. It's pure.
He loves the excitement of the game.
Yeah,
but there's something weird about sitting. Like there's a sweet zone that you can sit on your ass for and not get more tired from sitting on your ass. But if you're on your ass for 12 hours a day for 3-4 days in a row, it actually makes you exhausted to be sitting for that long.
It was important to stand up and just like pace a little bit. I didn't
do that ever. All right. Great recap, Jake.
Thank you.
We're going to do an ad and then we're going to get to the rest of the show where we talk about Saturday's games and our voices get better because we did it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Doing a time travel, so you listen to us just talk about what happened on Sunday night. We are now, it is Sunday afternoon, and we're going to recap Saturday night. Everyone follow?
Got it.
We're time traveling.
Saturday night. Tape delayed.
Okay. Tape delayed, take number one. That Memphis Gonzaga game was the game of the tournament.
Yeah. That was one where I wanted to keep just live betting the live over no matter what it was gonna be.
It was so awesome.
Just up and down, up and down. I still hate Drew Timmy, for the record.
He was incredible.
He played awesome yesterday. He did miss some foul shots, but I'm doing the thing from memento to myself where I'm like tattooing on my body, don't believe Drew Timmy's lies. He will come back and he will hurt you eventually.
Yes. Yeah,
but you're right. Yeah. Credit to him. He played an awesome game.
He basically was like, I'm going to put the entire team on my little narrow shoulders and will carry us into the Sweet 16. He also had Jake Marsh approved post-game speech. Let's put it in right here.
All right, Drew, I heard you in the hallway motivate this team. What did you say in that locker room?
I said, I don't give a flying F what happens at the end of the game. Whether we lose or win, we're not going out as no soft guys. Leave it all on the floor because it could be your last 20. And hey, man, if you go all out and we still lose, play with no regrets. And we took that to heart and you know, we came out with the win, fortunately. But give credit to Memphis, man. They really brought it, and the way they turned their season around is pretty remarkable.
Just finding every way to not swear, even though it was clear that he went into the halftime, was like, you bunch of pussies, we got to fucking win this game. Otherwise, I'm never going to look at you motherfuckers in the face ever again.
Mm-hmm. I'm a Chet guy, though. I'm Team Chet. Chet's not in a position where he can give that type of pump-up speech yet.
Yeah.
Chet's a perfect guy to give a pump-up speech to.
Dude, Chet, all right, so obviously, it's very easy to say Chet Holmgren skinny. We all know that. I thought, his defense is already at a point where it's like, okay, this guy can be an elite rim protector. Because he was playing guys who were 70 pounds heavier than him. And, yeah, a couple times they got the best of him. But I think he was like a plus 18 in a four-point game. He was so good defensively. And even every time they went in the post, the guys are way heavier than him. He's finding ways to block shots, alter shots. I'm a Chet believer. I'm a full-on Chet believer. I like Chet.
I love Chet. Chet's my favorite player on that team, and there's not really a close second for me. He's like, it's like trying to shoot a layup.
Murphy's dogs.
Well, I like the one that jumped in the front seat.
Yeah.
The one that's the one that caused him to get the DUI.
Correct.
Not the passive little bitch in the back.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, no, I love watching Chet play defense. He's like trying to shoot a layup over a tree. He's very, very slender, but he is like, I think all the mass that's on his arms is actually muscle. There's just not much of it.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like he's got like a if you took a marathoner and just stretched them out on a table,
yeah,
and made them into be like a 6'10" person. That's kind of like the body type he has.
Here's
and
the thing too: you can always gain weight. You can never get taller.
Yeah, and he doesn't.
You know what I mean? Like he's got the height.
Well, that's the thing. He actually might not be done growing yet because he's like 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah,
I keep telling myself that too.
I'm a big you do love the delayed onset growth.
Yeah, no, sometimes you've heard stories like there's some guy in China that grew a foot when he was like 50 years old.
Yeah, yeah, it happens. But that game was incredible. The pace was so awesome, and Gonzaga, like that was a true test for them. So they're in the Sweet 16, I think 7 straight years. So I guess they're okay.
They must have won a lot of
Final Fours. Yeah, exactly. The other games, shout out Juwan Howard's PR team. Because that was – now, and I know people be like, he knows Kennedy Chandler. He coached – you know, his son played with him when they were kids. He wanted to get him on Michigan. Kennedy Chandler, a star on Tennessee. After the game, he has, like, this long embrace, which I think he was trying to hug him to death, knowing his anger problems. That's probably what was happening. But talk about a spin for, like, public opinion. You're down 10 in the first round of Colorado State. You win that game. You beat Tennessee. Now you're there's always one of those moments in March where basically if you can get Seth Davis to tweet, like, this is what March is all about. Well, about the kids. You've won the public opinion battle.
It was actually faith in humanity restored.
Yeah.
My faith in humanity was so restored when he was hugging that kid who was crying. It's unbelievable how quickly it got restored. They should give me a job on TBS doing the halftime coverage at the desk.
Yeah.
If as long as you can just say that your faith in humanity has been restored and tweet out a video – That's really the qualification
for
it.
But you also can't kill anyone who's still alive.
That's also true.
Shout out Pete Gillen, still alive.
So, real quick, though, the whole, like, restored faith in humanity, you have to lose your faith at some point.
Well,
he
smushed Joe Krabbenhoff.
No, but he can't just, Rex Chapman can't just, like, continually have it be restored.
It goes back and forth.
He has to lose it. He has to, like, tweet out a picture of, like, a cat dying and be like, oh, no, I hate humanity now.
I think it's every day he goes on Twitter and someone tweets him, like, Rex, you're, like, a mask-loving loser. And mm-hmm. he loses his faith in humanity. And then someone tweets him a picture of a dog and he's like, restored.
Restored. Bro. Got it back.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, we don't deserve
dogs.
We don't deserve masks.
Right. But let's get this mask on this dog, please.
Yeah. So as far as the game goes, I love Zakai Ziegler. Yeah. I think he was my favorite player in college basketball this year. 5'9", short king. Electric, just extreme lateral quickness. He's so much fun to watch. I'm sad that I don't get to watch him anymore in this tournament. That's my biggest takeaway. My second biggest takeaway is that Rick Barnes is still Rick Barnes. And I fell for Rick Barnes' trick, which is the most Rick Barnes thing that he can do, is to make me forget that Rick Barnes is Rick Barnes.
It's when we had Titus on last week and we talked about narratives, and, you know, Titus watches a ton of college basketball and thinks about it, you know, in a deeper level than we do. So I think someone like him, he's like, well, it's not all narratives, but at some point you should have to trust the narrative. Like, Fran McCaffrey doesn't go to the Sweet 16. Rick Barnes is 25-25 all time in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some Tennessee fans being like, how many other coaches have 25 wins? Well, I mean, yeah, not many, but when you have teams consistently, and they're going to do the same thing next year, they'll be like top five at some point. They'll probably beat Kentucky. And I follow way too many Vol fans. I shouldn't say it that way. I follow a lot of Vol fans. I am Vol for life. I love Tennessee. When I went there, it was awesome. Watching their meltdown on Twitter, I felt very bad for them because it was essentially that, like, we fell for this again.
Well, yeah, they knew that in the back of their head, they knew it was going to happen. But they had been just, like, lying to themselves all year saying this team. It did feel a little bit different. It felt like after the run that they made in the SEC tournament, like, that seemed like – what's the difference between –
you're also Tennessee leveraged heavily.
I am very leveraged in my
Tennessee
fandom.
Oh, you had a future.
Fandom.
Goodbye to both all of our futures.
I had my future. I work closely with Big T. His happiness is important to me. But I was fooled a little bit too. They pulled the wool over my eyes.
The hot team going into the tournament.
But, like, what's the difference between being able to coach a team in the SEC tournament as opposed to coaching a team –
well, he couldn't until this year. They hadn't won the SEC tournament in like 40 years.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it doesn't make any sense to me how bad Rick Barnes has been in the NCAA tournament over his career, considering the talent that he's had.
Yeah, I know. In Michigan,
and the teams that he's had have been good, like, well-coached teams during the regular season.
And Michigan deserves credit. Michigan is, if you asked a Michigan fan in November, would you be happy with the Sweet 16? They'd be like, no, we expect that. If you asked them in January, they'd be like, please, we'd love that. We're spiraling. Mm-hmm. So their season is a bizarre season.
My national championship pick preseason.
Really?
Yeah.
How's the bracket doing?
Well.
Oh.
Oh.
No. I mean, it was
that
dead.
Wasn't the bracket pick? You
no.
have two picks?
I had a preseason national
picks.
Championship pick
Which,
in the bracket.
Got it.
Which
okay.
one is your
it
secondary
died on Thursday.
Pick.
Friday was Shiva.
Okay. So you, nice, so you have nice two picks for winner.
No, I mean, if you want to look at it that way. Sure.
You're like Drake.
Yeah.
You love them all.
Yeah. You'll come out on top. Just add another couple teams.
I do like watching Hunter Dickinson play.
Yeah. His hooks on the baseline are so sweet.
The hooks are incredible. He's a good passer, too. I think he made a very, very smart decision. He got off the black shoes, and now he's wearing the white shoes.
Yeah.
That's a guy that when he's wearing the black shoes, he seems like Chris Mullin back in the day, just like
slow.
Stopping like
yeah.
like the Jolly Green Giant run down the court.
Yeah.
But he looks more fluid now, and he's fun to watch play.
I have a question for you. So Baylor lost to UNC. They came back. It was all-time ref show. UNC fans were very upset, rightfully so in some parts, but like it still was a 25-0 run or whatever it was. So afterwards, so this is now since Florida repeated with Billy Donovan and Joakim Noah and all those guys, there's been no repeat national champion. There's actually last 5 years, I think the national champion has failed to get out of the round of 32. There's been like you have a list of teams that either didn't qualify for the tournament after they won the title or they didn't get very far in the tournament. I know all of this because Scott Drew tweeted it, which I feel like is just major loser energy. He tweeted a graphic that I think was made by Fox showing all the national champions, previous national champions the last 15 years. He tweeted, 358 Division I teams, not easy to repeat. Thank you for all the supportive messages to the team. They gave a great effort all year long. We couldn't have done it without your support. Thank you. And then it's a graphic saying defending men's champions in NCAA tournaments since 06-07 and just a list of all of their failures in the next tournament. That's a weird thing to do. You let your fan base say that because it is hard to repeat.
No, you let your burner say that.
Right.
That's what your burner – you tweet out, like, congratulations to the UNC Tar Heels. They played a great game. We're disappointed with how our season ended, but we will fight and work harder in the offseason and come back and look to restore Baylor to our once proud traditions of last year.
Right.
And then you reply to that tweet with your burner, and then you like that tweet from your real account so that people see that you like that tweet, and then they retweet.
Yeah.
That's how the game is done. You don't tweet it out yourself.
Tremendous cuck energy. No, I followed everything.
You got to
slyly signal boost with the like.
Yeah. The ghost retweet.
Right, and then just be like, oh, thanks. You know, I appreciate that. It is hard to repeat.
Yeah.
People are going to say that for you.
Or you can even reply to that and be like, wow, that's a great point. I never thought of this.
Yeah, that's insane.
At not Scott Drew.
Yeah. I saw it and I was like, wait, why is he tweeting this? Let other people say that.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. But you're right. It was a ref show. There was something weird going on. I hope that those officials aren't going to work for the rest of the tournament. Because although, like, I didn't really have a dog in the fight. I took Baylor on an alternate line, so that was dead before it even started. But it's so disappointing to see a team come back from, like, 22 points down and then lose in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think...
Run out of gas.
Yeah, I think they were up in overtime, and... UNC was the underdog. So,
yeah.
Like, it was... Oh, no, sorry. UNC was leading in overtime, but they were still the underdog.
College basketball has a ref problem. It just does. Like, we all know it. It's just... There's stupid, you know, that technical foul that was called earlier today against Illinois, or against Houston. No, it was against Illinois for hanging on the rim. Charge calls are very hard to, like, figure out what exactly is going to be a charge in mm-hmm. this game. None of it really makes sense. It just, every game you go into in college basketball, you could just tweet before the game, it's a ref show, and like 90% of the time you'd be right.
Ref show.
Yeah, ref show. It's a ref show. That's Frank's got in my head. But we do have the Blue Blood Sweet 16 now, UCLA versus UNC, Mick Cronin. People need to start putting more respect on Mick Cronin's game for being a great, I'm going to call him a tactician.
Dude, he's a great
tactician.
Coach. He's a great
in-game tactician.
And his dad, Hep, is back.
Yep.
Old Hep C in the stands.
Yes.
That guy's awesome. He was, like, hugging people left and right around him. Jake, you got what?
No, I was just laughing when he said Hep's back. I think it's a funny storyline.
You like Hep C, right?
No.
That is his name.
Yeah.
He's Hep C.
It is Hep C.
Hep is a good basketball dad. And Mick Cronin, we were right about Mick Cronin.
Yeah.
And by right, we mean... Like, we just happened to interview him, and we liked him, so
yeah,
we said he was
going
to be
good. Yeah, at some point we said he's a good coach,
yeah.
And we've been proven right time and time again.
That's going to be a great matchup, though.
Yeah, I'm worried about you really don't know what is wrong with Jaquez's
I can check right now.
I also just love UCLA because they have Jaime Jaquez and Juzang, and it's just fun to say their names. And then
Tiger Campbell.
Tiger Campbell.
They got
a fun name squad. It's like Wofford a couple years ago when they had all those guys.
Storm's brewing.
Yeah, Storm Murphy, who's now Virginia Tech. All right, should we do who's back? Where, are you going to find me?
I'm looking right now.
All right,
day-to-day right ankle sprain.
Day-to-day right ankle, fuck. Okay.
They do play Friday, extra day.
There we go. So, yeah, extra day. Extra That's day. A lot of rest. That's extra day of rest. All right, let's do who's back. We are obviously not talking about St. Peter's because we're going to have Shaheen Holloway on. So we're giving St. Peter's a ton of shine in a second. Probably the story of the weekend in terms of, you know, like even Oral Roberts and Florida Gulf Coast, they took the world by storm. But St. Peter's is by far the smallest of the schools.
Yeah, I think FGCU was just the flashiest because of the way they did it,
right?
Because of the dunks and everything.
I saw it somewhere that said St. Peter's is like one of the least funded basketball programs in the country. So, yeah, we're going to have Shaheen on. We'll talk about it because it has been an incredible, incredible ride for them. All right, let's do who's back of the week. Hank, would you like to start?
I have a few. Okay.
Oh, nice. Came prepared for once.
I think you're going to have one, though, so I don't want to take it necessarily.
Go for it.
Yeah, go for it. What do you think mine is?
Ferrari.
Oh, no, but we are back.
Ferrari's all the way back. First F1 race of the year, they finished 1-2.
1-2. Push. Push.
What is
and
that? Is that P1?
P1, P2.
Okay. Couldn't
Hamilton
be better.
P3.
And Verstappen, I could listen to Verstappen bitch on the radio forever because he's an ultimate like something's wrong, not me guy. It was his car was wrong, like fucked up. He actually had to get disqualified or whatever, retire. He had to retire mid-race or end of the race. But Ferrari, that was a good long play by me because they were like the Yankees, and I was like they sucked last year. I was like, I'm gonna get in now. Ferrari fan for life. You guys know me. I love Ferrari.
This is the first race of the year?
Yes. Okay. Bahrain.
When's the next one?
Probably 2 weeks.
I did see the post-race interview with Toto Wolff.
Yeah.
That guy is not real.
He's awesome.
There's no chance that he's a real human.
He's like a supervillain.
Yes.
He's the white whale for this podcast.
Yeah, I've been saying for a while, just by he's a white whale accent for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would be all time.
I would listen to him and Morten Andersen do a podcast together.
Yeah.
About like secret layers that they have.
But yeah, it was fun. It was fun to see F1 back.
I learned about DRS. That's like apparently there's just a NOS button that you can hit if you're within like a second of the person in front of you.
Yep.
You can hit a NOS?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I think it's the flaps, right? On the back of your car.
Yeah, you like hit a button. It's like, I don't fully
understand
it. Why don't
they just hit that button the entire time?
That's what I was asking.
You have to hit the DRS zone.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Or I would just hit it the entire time.
I have some questions on how like that could be definitely exploited. Like, whoops, I accidentally hit the NOS button.
Oh, you get a penalty. Because remember, the best part about F1 is those guys bitch about each other more than any sport ever.
Wait till you see the last episode.
Like, Christian Horner
just
basically spends half of his job is to say Toto's cheating.
Mm-hmm. It's the ultimate ref show.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Okay. Good one.
My other one was Patty.
That was mine. Okay. That was mine. All right, so Patty the Batty's back. I'll do mine real quick. Patty
Scouser.
The Batty back. Our colleague, Patty the Batty, put on an electric show.
Megan the Meatball,
his friend, who I think is going to also be our colleague. But Patty the Batty's going to be a star. I'm so excited. He choked out the guy in, what, like 3 minutes? It looked bad for a second.
Yeah, he got tagged early and kind of fell to the ground, got a little wobbly. He recovered. He's so fun to watch when he gets into these like weird submission poses because like he'll jump on your face.
Yeah.
He will do. He's so crazy flexible. He's got these long legs. It looks like either a snake or like some sort of bug just like wrapping somebody up.
Yes.
And making them completely helpless. It's got to be the most helpless thing in the world to have like Patty just draped on your neck and you can't do shit about it. He's wrapped around every limb just slowly choking you out.
Who do you think he called out next? We're not a UFC podcast. He called out Mark Zuckerberg. So he said,
okay, good,
who
good.
I want to fight? Mark Zuckerberg. Lad, I'm going to punch your head in. I'm sick of you, lad. Sick of you shutting my Instagram accounts down. All I do is I help charities and help people with mental health problems. You're the biggest bully in the world, lad. So let's get it. Let's do it. I just love Patty, too, because his haircut and just how he looks, and then he kicks your ass. It's got to be so demoralizing.
For sure.
Yeah, he's the best. All right, so PFT, you're who's back.
Yeah, I was going to do Patty the Batty. Obviously, I think we all had Patty the Batty.
Our brains basically have just like a bouncing basketball around back and forth, and then every now and then Patty's face shows up. It's like, hey, remember me?
Yeah, well, I mean, all of us have been staring at the exact same screens for the last like 2.5 days, so I think we're probably on the same wavelengths.
Yeah.
With like your brain getting drowned out by techno music.
Yes,
that's true.
I had like a little PTSD today when we went to the bar and I was like, oh my God, I don't think I can do this.
I think I'm done with bars forever. I think last night I went to my last bar.
There you go. Congratulations.
I'm officially retiring.
No farewell tour. Very classy.
No farewell game.
So you're going to let Coach K out last
you? You know, when it's time, you just know it's time.
Yeah.
PFT went out to the bar last night and ordered 20 beers.
That's true.
At one time.
That's true.
Yeah.
I walked upstairs. And
there's a lot of us.
Well, now, let's tell the full story here. We had, how many people were with us? Like,
yeah, there's a shitload of people.
No, this was at the after.
No, I know there was a ton of people.
At least five people were with us, and the place was like a little bit crowded. People were still feeling it out. We didn't know what the vibe there was yet, and I thought, let's make a move. I went up, I got 20 beers, and I got 20 cups, and then I found a little table, and then I got a game of Flip Cup going.
Hell yeah.
Everybody had a great time.
That's awesome.
Such a great time. You never want to go back to a bar.
Never again.
And on a high note.
Well,
you're like John Elway.
I also got into a bar fight at the end of the night.
A real bar fight?
Almost. I had to back the guy down.
Almost getting arrested?
No, I mean, ask Tom Lay what happened. The guy was in Tom Lay's face, I said, if you got a problem with Tom, you got a problem with me. And I'd think about that if I were you.
Wait, so White Sox Dave just backed down after that?
Yeah, he just tucked tail, ran away. No, last night was a movie, man.
I enjoyed myself.
Jake, did you get drunk?
Jake got a little drunk.
Oh, Jake, man. I noticed, to any girls in their ear forcefully?
No.
I noticed that Jake was not mixing in waters.
He was just going
full diesel beer.
I had to go home because I got way too drunk on Friday night for the Badger game in that live stream. So.
Yeah.
Also, of course, Jake is just the best at Flip Cup.
Yeah, of course.
Jake was best in the office.
Without a doubt. Yeah, he get it every time.
Also, Jake was being very, very honest as a Flip Cup player, where he saw his teammate cheating, and after the game was over, he forfeited.
No, I paused mid-game.
Yeah, you called him out. And he said, restart.
Integrity of the game.
Jake was policing the game.
Yeah, it's like Little League. All right, Jake, who's back?
My who's back is the Masters hype, not commercials, plus the commercials.
Where are they doing it this year, Augusta?
Yeah, they moved it from TPC Sawgrass.
So Rico Bosco original. Our brains are just so fried.
The par three.
my brain.
I actually saw the Masters commercial, and I said his stupid fucking joke in my head. Yeah. I was like, "Oh, they're doing it at Augusta again this year."
My brain is actually shockingly like 50% just Rico Bosco quotes.
Yes. Okay, sorry, Jake.
In the tank.
The par three contest is back. The grandstands are back, so the roars will return.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nothing like a Sunday roar when Tiger's chasing after his prey.
Is there a chance he plays?
No.
Brooks.
This is Max. Yeah. Max actually guaranteed that he was
momentum,
gonna,
right?
Max personally guaranteed to me that he's going to make the cut. So now, if he doesn't, he's got to retire, he said. If I don't make the cut, I'm retiring. So everyone hold him to that on Twitter.
So on Wednesdays, that's when they do the practice round, right?
Right.
And
that's a par three.
Yeah, they usually have like the father's son go. Max should bring one of us along as his son.
Yeah. He'd probably be sick at the par three because it's not actual golf.
Right.
That's when he shines.
Yeah, it's right in the middle of the week.
Yeah, the PlayStation Open.
It's as far away from the weekend as you can possibly get. That's where Max.
It's good. It's a good thing to deal with the depression of college basketball ending, just having the
three-day week.
No, I'm just saying the hype around it.
We're still in the middle of the tournament.
I know. I'm just
saying it's 2 weeks yet on
now.
Me.
I won't.
You're getting pre-depressed.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's a very Jewish grandmother of you. Like when you go visit, like when will you visit me? We're here. Yeah. We're in the tournament.
Yeah,
you got this. We still got games left.
Yep.
We're good. We're gonna go to the Final Four. You're credentialed at the Final Four.
I am.
All right. Good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Cheer up.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Here we go.
Pick yourself up.
We're good.
You ever go
to Drew Timmy? You fucking pussy. Get up and get off the mat. We're gonna fucking
F.
beat.
I don't give a flying.
I'm gonna give a flying at that. You loved that speech, didn't you? Yeah. That was a great speech.
You ever go on a vacation and like when you're on the way to your vacation, you start thinking about how much it's gonna suck coming back to work?
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't do that to us, Jake.
Okay. So we've all been there.
We're right in the thick of it right now.
It's a natural thing to think. Listen. I'm always get a little sad after the first 4 days because it is the my favorite 4 days of the year.
Yeah, so I'm supposed to be the positive guy here. So disgusting that I said that. I apologize.
Thank you. Sanctions? Disgusting. Are you sanctioning yourself?
Self-imposed ban next Wednesday from watching college basketball.
Wait a second.
Sure that's not NIT? CBI?
If it is.
Shout out that guy who gave me a CBI lock of the day yesterday.
Are they still doing the pineapple thing? Like, is it a tournament for swingers?
I don't know.
Wasn't it the golden pineapple was the trophy?
For the CBI?
I think it was.
Yeah, that guy, he really, like, hit at my heartstrings where if you just are in public and see me and tell me a lock convincingly enough, I'll just be like, okay, I'm in.
Also, shout out the guy that I met at the bar last night that kept coming up to me and telling me that he had a lock of the millennium today because he went 8-0 yesterday, and his lock for today's games was UNC.
Oh.
And I kept telling him, UNC played earlier today. I watched the
money
game.
Money line.
And then he kept coming back and telling me, you got to bet UNC tomorrow.
He was right. He was right.
He might be a time traveler.
Yeah, he was right.
Who's exactly correct.
Yes, yes.
I think, Bubba, he gave you that lock too, right?
About 15 times.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Like, you guys should have taken it.
Yeah, we play Monday in the women's tournament, round of 32. They're a 5 seed against Arizona.
He might have been talking about the women's tournament.
All right,
yeah,
we got to bet it now. We got to bet it.
Got to bet UNC.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. PFT, you got a quick ad before we get to Shaheen Holloway, coach of.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is head coach of the St. Peter's Peacocks, Shaheen Holloway, who now has his team as a 15 seed into the Sweet 16. They are the story of the tournament. Coach, should we start with your quote? Because that quote went viral. It was incredible when you said you've got guys from New Jersey and New York City. You think we're scared of anything. How tough is your locker room? Because I know that, you know, you could say that, but is it really that tough where guys are just going to these games against Kentucky and saying we got this?
Well, let me clear it up first. First of all, fellas, thanks for having me on, man. I'm a big fan. You guys do a tremendous job. I love the fact that you guys say what y'all mean what y'all say. Like, that's big time to me, man. That's, you know, I'm from Jamaica, Queens, New York, so that's up my alley. So kudos to you guys for that. Second of all, excuse my voice a little bit. You know, it's been a long weekend, man. I'm a little hoarse, right? So that quote is funny, right? Because you get the end of it, but you don't get the whole quote. So the question was asked, you know, how did you guys, you know, handle that? You know, Murray State's a very physical team. They know to beat people up. They know whatever. And I said, you know, what I said, like, come on, man. Like, I got guys from New York and New Jersey. Like, this is what we do. Especially if you watch my team since I've been here, that's what we build off. We build off out hustling people, out scrapping people, you know, being a tougher team. So to answer your question, yeah, I got some dudes in my locker room, man.
I love it.
I got some dudes in there.
I love it.
And being a guy that's from the area, that went to school in the area, that's coached in the area, it's good to see, like, the players from the city of New York playing in the area, because I feel like a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of great players that come out of this area, but they end up going, you know, getting recruited by a blue blood, or they go, you know, all across the country. It's just good to see them staying local and, like, kind of putting something on the map here in New Jersey for you. I'm curious, like, what, when you're going into that game against Kentucky, before the game even started, are you a pump-up speech guy? Did you have anything special planned to motivate your guys?
I'll be honest with you, big dog. Like, if I got to pump you up to go play against Kentucky in the NCAA tournament, something's wrong, right? You know, I told these guys, listen, if you guys go into the game and not worry about the name on the front of the jersey, we'll be going to be fine. Go in there and play your game. Do what you do. Act like it's open gym. Just go out there and play and ball, you know, and don't worry about it. Have fun. Like, we got nothing to lose. Like, nobody expects us to be here. Like, if we make the game close, they're going to get a little tight and anything can happen. But also, to tell you the truth, also know, like, my guys, I got a bunch of guys on my team. And this is, like, this is funny. You guys gonna laugh. I got a bunch of guys on my team that think they belong at Kentucky.
Yeah.
So they think they belong at schools like that. So, okay, here's your time to show it.
Yeah.
Go out there and prove.
And that's why, I mean, March Madness, that's why this tournament is so special, is because you have stories like this. We've seen the stat thrown around. This was the first time a New Jersey team won a tournament game since 2000 when you were playing the point guard for Seton Hall. Now, is that's kind of a, like, sneaky, like, insult stat, because you also coached as an assistant coach at Seton Hall. So do you take that stat as, oh, that's cool? Or wait, they're basically saying when I was a coach under Coach Willard, we didn't win any games in the tournament.
Oh, here we go. You know what? It's funny, right? Because Like you can take it both ways, right? I didn't know that until late last night. Well, early this morning, somebody told that to me. That's incredible, you know, with all the success that we had at Seton Hall, you know, when I was there with Coach and after I was there with Coach Willard, and what Rutgers are doing right now is phenomenal. I didn't know that, you know, and that's kind of surprising. It's surprising to me,
yeah,
to tell you the truth, because, you know, man, you're right, man. You think about it, that's a crazy stat. And, like, people could take it all kind of ways. Like, you could take it all kind of ways. I don't think that we could knock the success that Coach Willard had at Seton Hall. It's been a phenomenal run. I mean, the things he done there was, it's big time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that was, I'm not going to make you talk about another job, but your old boss, Kevin Willard, kind of screwed you on Saturday morning when he's like, Shaheen would be great for the Seton Hall job right before you have the biggest game of your life.
It's funny because, you know, I didn't even, so I kind of just stayed off social media. I told my pledge to stay off social media. My wife actually told me about it. And you know what? I said, that's Coach. You know, that's him trying to, you know, I don't think he meant anything by it. That's him trying to, you know, pump me. You know, I worked for him for 11 years. I'm an alumni of the school, right? So, and nothing else, I could cheer for Seton Hall. Like, I'm an alumni. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm alum. Forget anything else. Forget working there. I'm alum. I want those guys to do well. But I thought that was just him just trying to, you know, in his mind, trying to help me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, I just got to correct. That was last time Seton Hall won a game, because I know Rutgers fans are going to be all up in my ass because I said New Jersey by accident. And our stat guy's looking at me right now being like, you're an idiot. We've had a long 4 days, too. So, sorry. I'm just going to correct myself.
Yeah, I'd like to apologize also for our voices. Yeah. Because if you think – what do you think is harder to do? Coach two games in the NCAA tournament and win them as a 15 seed, or watch 32 games be played – over the course of 2 days, screaming at your television as loud as you can in a bar, drinking beers?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't drink, right? So I would say coaching, because, like, when you're coaching, there's a rush that is hard to explain. Now, I've been on the other end watching games and yelling too. So I get it. Trust me. I definitely get it.
Yeah, it's been a battle out here. Who's the guy on your team right now that's the biggest dog? Who's the guy that is the one that is, like, the toughest, the one that gets his teammates up, the one that was the least intimidated going up against some of these big schools?
Well, like, none of them is intimidated. So let me put that out there. You know, I got two twins that this is what they love to do. Like, they love to go out there and mix it up. Obviously, Casey Adefo is our emotional leader. I think the toughest guy people laugh at is Doug Etter. You know, yeah. Like, people laugh about his mustache, people laugh about – Doug is one of the toughest guys on my team. Like, he loves this. He built for it. But, like, I'll be honest, like, my whole team, man, like, I like they kind of follow my personality. Like, I play this way, right? I play with a chip on my shoulder, being 5'10", having something to prove. You know, God telling me I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. And, you know, being a McDonald's All-American and a top five player in my class, the best point guard. Like, I took all that stuff as fuel to the fire. And these guys played that same exact way. Some of these guys didn't get recruited heavily. Some of these guys didn't get recruited at all. You know, St. Peter's was the only school. So some of these guys have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you guys beat Kentucky and the guy's name is Doug, and he's got that terrible mustache. And I think I said he looks like a guy who should be, like, you know, selling you cigarettes at a 7-Eleven. Instead, he just shot 100% from the field against Kentucky. It was so great. And you could tell Doug is a dog. Like, that guy's not scared of anything. He is a perfect March Madness player. Like, the story and everything behind it is just so perfect.
No, that's Doug for you, man. Doug, I first got the job. Doug played AAU for a guy I used to play for, San Antonio, with the Roadrunners. And he told me he had a kid, and I went to go watch him, and I loved him. I mean, I loved everything about his game, his toughness. He can make shots. He was fearless. He was, you know, not backing down. I'm like, yeah, I got to have this kid.
Mm-hmm. When you took over the job, I have to imagine that, you know, you step in, you have to, like, change the culture. We hear coaches talk about culture a lot. What did you do? Like, what from the get-go was your mindset in telling the guys, okay, this is what our culture is going to be here?
Well, first thing first, you know, I thought Coach Dunn did an unbelievable job here, John Dunn at St. Peter's. But I just wanted to get local players. Like, that was my main thing. Anywhere I've been as a coach, when I coached at Iona, we had local players. When I coached at Seton Hall, we had local players. In both of those places, we had a lot of success with local players. So my main thing was to get local players. like you said earlier in the show, make sure that the guys stay home. So you look at my team. My team is kind of built around guys from the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Philadelphia area, DC area. Like, I want guys like those guys are guys that I want to play. Guys that, like I said earlier, have something to prove, chip on their shoulder, under-recruited, tough, hard-nosed. Because you got to be tough to play for me. If you ain't tough, you can't play for me.
When it comes to Dougie Dirt, and that's what I call him now, he's just, in my mind, he's just Dougie Dirt. We do love the mustache. The mustache, has that been there all year? Or is it something that... Because I can't have him shave the mustache before the next round. He's got to keep it.
No, he starts shaving the mustache. So we went on COVID pause the end of Christmas, like around New Year's time. He started growing it while he was in COVID, when they was in quarantine. And then he just kept it. And then I think his girlfriend liked it, so he stayed on with it. I don't like it, but you know what? Right now, it's big. You know, it's helping him. It's helping us, so keep it. You know, let it grow some more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't change it now.
I was reading an article because when I saw St. Peter's, we've all had this moment. We saw St. Peter's pop up. You guys beat Kentucky. Hank, our producer, sitting right next to me, he lives like down the block from St. Peter's. He's like, oh my God, that's right down the block. I read an article.
Hank, Hank, stand up, Hank.
Yeah.
Jersey Hank.
Yes, Jersey Hank. I was thinking about it too. I was like, why are they so familiar sounding? And then I was reading an article and it dawned on me that in 2009, you guys played that game at 6 a.m. You weren't there, but that's what St. Peter's basketball was. They played a game. They literally scheduled the game at 6 a.m. to try to get eyeballs on it, and they gave out free bagels.
The
24-hour marathon. And I was like, whoa, oh, this is the team. But, you guys are probably one of the lower-funded schools in terms of basketball program in the country. What does that look like when you play against Kentucky? Is it, like, uniforms? Is it sneakers? I mean, is it that hard, you know, the uphill battle you have fighting against these big teams?
You know what? You know, we are, you know, since I've been there, I've been trying to, you know, make the place better for the kids. I understand that the kids love having things, you know. So we had a gentleman, Tom McMahon, who donated a lot of money for a new arena, you know.
Oh, wow.
And there's a lot of other people that was responsible for that, but he was the guy who gave the biggest gift for that. And my thing talking to him was, listen, like, we got to make this place a place where people call this their home and they appreciate it. Like, so we got a brand new locker room, you know, brand new weight room, things like that. So since I've been here, we kind of like right now, we got three uniforms, you know, multiple sweatshirts, sneakers. Kids care about that stuff, right? So when you're going to play the Kentuckys of the world, yeah, absolutely. Like, they got big time stuff. It's Kentucky. But like I said, some of my guys think they belong there. So in their mind, they're not even looking at it like that. They mind it. They're looking like, oh, all right. Well, I could show Coach Kyle why he got trying to recruit me next year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now try to make my job extra hard because now they're going to be being in the transfer portal. Like, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
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 So when are you going to start watching film? When does that process start for you for the next round?
So tonight we're going to watch the game, Purdue and Texas game, see who we play. Once that game is over, right away.
Just snapping right to it. And I like the fact that you're a point guard head coach. I feel like point guards make the best head coaches. Is that a fair statement?
Wow. Well, I appreciate that. You know, I don't want to say that because that might come off sounding crazy, but thank you for saying that. But I think, you know, being a point guard is like being a quarterback. Like, so you out there, you understand the game. You know every position, what everybody's supposed to do. So we kind of make the, you know, good coaches. So I won't say they're the best coaches, but I think it's something to it, for sure.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We're sitting here right now, Texas Purdue haven't played yet. Has it dawned on you, though, that you're in the Sweet 16, and you're not only in the Sweet 16, but also in your bracket, in your region, is North Carolina and UCLA, like two of the four or five blue bloods of college basketball, and you're St. Peter's. Have you had a second to look at that and be like, holy shit.
And you heard him?
Yeah.
And you heard him? And you're St. Peter's. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's crazy. Again, it's why I love this tournament. Like, you get I don't know how many titles North Carolina, UCLA have between them, But and then there's St. Peter's, and we're America's rooting for St. Peter's.
Now you know what? It's you know what? I'll be honest with you. You know, last week we won the MAC tournament, the MAC championship, and that still hasn't hit me yet. You know, everything that happened so quick. And this hasn't hit me yet either. You know, I'm just enjoying the ride. I don't want the dream. I don't want the dream to be over. You know, I just want to, you know, see it out. But I will tell you this: it don't matter who we play. And I said this before we went to the tournament. It doesn't matter who we play. My team is not going to be intimidated. We're going to go out there and play as hard as anybody and give it everything we got.
I love it. I love it.
One thing I find fascinating about your team is you're the Peacocks, the St. Peter's Peacocks. Yes. But you have maybe the most understated jerseys in college basketball. It's like, you know, just the solid blue. Is there any sort of alternate uniform or any sort of team gear that kind of struts off more of that, like, peacock flair?
Now, you know what? When I first got here, I wanted to change that around, to tell you the truth, right? Peacock is what it is. So we got three uniforms. We got a navy, we got a gray, and we got a black. This year is the first year I was having the black. I think the black is sharp, it's smooth. But the blue, we've been winning with the blue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we kind of stayed with it, right? So going into the MAC tournament, we won four straight games. And in the MAC tournament, we was like the highest seed, so we had to wear gray. So the whole team wanted to wear black going into the NCAA tournament. I'm like, are y'all nuts? We just won four in a row in blue. Like, we're wearing navy. So we just going to stick with the blue.
Yeah. I like it.
Keep with the blue. Keep with Dougie Dirt's mustache, too.
Yes.
Don't change horses. I mean,
that's staying, man. Like, he's a phenomenon because of that. I don't think, even if I'm trying to get him to cut off, it's not coming off.
I love it. Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking your time with us. We are all rooting for the Peacocks, the least intimidating mascot in the world, but we're rooting for them. It is tough to be like, the Fighting Peacocks, here they come. Like, what? Okay, you guys should get a live peacock like Mike the Tiger. You should have a live peacock in the new arena. That'd be sick.
Now, you know what, man? I definitely appreciate you guys having me on. I know you guys are super busy. You know, you guys got, you know, a lot of people you have to interview. This is humbling. I'm very humbled by this. My team is very humbled by what's going on with us right now. Like, we in the moment. We want to stay in the moment. Like, it's been an unbelievable ride. People's been behind us. I appreciate you guys being behind us. Friday night, tune in, lock in, man. Let's get it going.
Hell
yeah,
yes.
We love it. We're rooting for you. Yeah. We want you to beat Texas or Purdue. Then we want you to beat UNC or UCLA and keep advancing.
And enjoy the shine. You really deserve it. And that's this is your week. So enjoy the shine and all the kids. And best of luck Friday night.
Appreciate you guys, man. Keep doing what y'all doing, man. It's great, brother. Take care.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Coach.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and Hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Okay, let's wrap up the show. We got NFL free agency, MLB free agency. I have Jake has a whole list of that. Let's start with some NFL. Deshaun Watson to the Browns.
Well, Deshaun Watson to the Browns after the Browns have conducted an extensive investigation.
Yep, exhaustive.
Exhaustive investigation into how much they really want Deshaun Watson to be a Browns quarterback.
All I'll say is that you would never see the Rooneys make a move like this.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. But yeah,
they're a team with class.
Yeah, what's so Baker Mayfield, does he even get, like, if he wanted to work out in the Browns facility right now, would he have a key card?
I don't think that he's even in Cleveland. I think he just kind of left.
Yeah.
I think he actually managed to do something that you don't see a lot in the NFL, which is he pulled an NBA.
Right.
On the NFL.
Right.
And the NFL usually doesn't take too kindly to that, but I think that since the Browns were able to get the guy that they wanted, in the first place, then they're going to be happy to just like try to get whatever they want. I actually saw a hilarious take. I forget. I need to look and see who it was. It's one of the usual suspects from like ESPN. But they said that the best thing what the Browns should do if they really want to help Baker in the long run, if they want to like treat their former player well, trade him for a shitty pick.
Ooh.
Like the shittiest pick that you can get, like a sixth or seventh rounder. And then he will use that as motivation to come back and then play better in the future. So they should intentionally tank their trade value for him just to motivate him down the line.
I like that. And also lets the new current team not give up a huge draft capital. I don't know what would he even go for. I mean, he has 1 year. I think his fifth year option is coming up, so he's like a third rounder.
I'm thinking like maybe two third rounders.
Maybe.
Or maybe a guy that just got traded for two third rounders.
Ooh, interesting.
That'd be very funny. I've reached the point where I don't hope that happens, just because that'd be very mean to do to Carson Wentz.
Yes, it would. What other NFL news did we have? Was there any other big trades or anything?
Robert Woods to the Titans.
So no big trades.
No big trades. Stafford re-signed.
Oh. He'll never win one in L.A.
No. This is throwing money away. I don't know what the Rams are doing with their cap right now. Like, they don't have any draft picks.
Whatever the fuck
they
want.
They're just trying to sign people.
Yes.
I don't see this working out in terms of a cogent team building strategy.
No chance. All right, Chief, give us the MLB. Carlos Correa was crazy.
Yeah, so I have this. I'll just do a quick running down.
All right,
the line
we're going to grade each one.
New team.
All right.
This is from CBS with the rankings, so credit to them. Carlos Correa from the Astros to the Twins.
A+.
Oh, I'm going to say B+.
Oh, A+.
Because he can opt out after every year. So I don't even know what the Twins are doing.
I also like that he's just leaving the Astros. That's why I give it an A+.
Okay.
Corey Seager from the Dodgers to the Rangers.
F.
I'll go with a D-.
Listen, some people are...
10-year deal.
Some people are
that's an F. Yeah, no, that's
10
F.
years?
I'll include the deals, yeah.
Okay, that's an F.
Chris Bryant, Giants to Rockies, 7 years.
A+.
Yeah, it's an A.
Quality guy.
Solid A.
Yep.
Marcus Simeon, Blue Jays to Rangers as well, 7 years. Rangers.
Oh.
F.
I'll say a D- because clearly they're building something.
Yeah, and they have a new ballpark.
At least they're trying.
Freddie Freeman, Braves to Dodgers, 6 years.
A+.
I
hate it for the Braves. I love it for the Dodgers. The Braves, many people are saying, are they better without Ronald Acuna? Maybe they should have got rid of him. They won the World Series without him. Freddie Freeman, the heart and soul, the beating heart of that franchise for so many years. Sad to see him go.
I think I like this like Braves Dodgers weird rivalry that's going to start. Because didn't the Braves then get Kelly Jansen? I'm pretty sure. All right, give us three more because I'm already bored.
Okay, fair.
that's not you. That's
no, I understand.
That's sport.
Absolutely. This is old, but it's still a notable one that we need to refresh our memories on. Max Scherzer, Dodgers to Mets, 3 years.
That actually does need a refresh. Yeah. Yes.
F-.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It makes me so angry.
Another old one, but still important. Javi Baez, Mets to Tigers, 6 years.
I didn't know that. I did know that, but I forgot it, so thank you.
And lastly.
When did he sign? He signed that a while ago, right?
Yeah.
Javi Baez is going to look weird in the Detroit Tigers uniform.
Yeah.
It's like lastly, too plain for him.
Yeah.
Nick Castellanos.
Where?
Reds to Phillies, 5 years.
Oh, and the Phillies got Schwarber, too. I like the Phillies. They're going to mash some taters.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Phillies, they have the longest streak in the National League without making the playoffs.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I think so.
Didn't Hank the
it
one?
It was on the dozen.
It was the dozen?
It was on the dozen. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm plagiarizing Jeff D. Lowe.
Yeah, you just stole that.
Yeah,
you credited, so you're fine.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Right, there we go. Yep. Credit. You almost Rex Chapman.
Well, I wanted somebody else to say it. Oh, thank you, Jeff D. Lowe, for being born and having a birthday, because I actually took a future on the Browns last week, and I got it at I got it at like 30-1 or – and it just cut in half when they got Deshaun. Thank you, Jeff D. Lowe.
Damn. Okay. That is our show. We'll see everyone. We'll be back in New York, back in studio on Tuesday, talking a little Sweet 16. Don't give up. Don't ever give up, Jake.
So
the madness. We still got.
For the Sweet 16.
That's how you said it?
For the Sweet 16.
You just went so excited. You are. You're mad that we've already eaten half of the cake.
What?
The March Madness cake. You're sad about the half we've eaten.
No, we've eaten a third. One weekend, Sweet 16
games
weekend,
wise,
Final
we've
Four.
More than a half.
And Final Four weekend's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. All right, numbers.
25.
Give me a 69 for Billy.
16.
22. 52.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. It's a dynasty. Whoa. Ninth time.
What?
The GOAT.
We had 47 at 7, 52 at 8. Now 52 is at 9.
Wow.
The GOAT just running up the
52
score.
52 is domination.
You know what? 52 is a blue blood.
Wow.
It really is.
52, 47 are the true blue bloods of numbers.
Yeah.
Wait, I read that wrong. It's 54. No, I'm just kidding. It's 52. All right. We'll see everyone on Wednesday.
Love you guys.